From KCRW, this is Here Be Monsters.
Much like the porpoise, man uses sonar, sound navigation, and ranging to search the depths.
Hey there.
Hi, come in.
Hey, I'm James, here to talk with Vicky.
Just wait a minute.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Have a seat. I don't know where they are. They're around somewhere. Vicky! Where is she?
Vicky. Yeah.
She's checking some sonar.
Hello. How are you?
I'm great. How are you doing?
Good.
Yeah. This is Laka, my wife.
Hey.
Hi, nice to meet you, James.
You too, you too.
Good.
What is this stuff here?
So this is the topside unit for the sonar that I want to hang off the rowboat. That's the transducer, one of the transducers. Let's see how this works.
It's August, and I'm on Cape Cod in Massachusetts. Out on the water, small boats bob at their moorings, and cormorants lounge on the rocks.
So this was my play yard when I was a kid. And I recognize how lucky I am, yeah. So we keep our little boat out on the mooring field there. And, it's a great place.
Dr. Vicky Farini grew up on this harbor. As a kid, she would stand here at low tide and watch as the water pulled back to reveal what was usually hidden from view. Now, she's part of an international effort to create a complete map of the seafloor. The problem with mapping the seafloor is that all the water in the ocean makes it hard to see what's down there. You can't just point and shoot a satellite like you can on land. In fact, mapping the ocean is more difficult than mapping the moon or Mars. To map the ocean, they use sound to see in the dark. Sonar.
The last time I tested, this was off the dock down the street. So being on a rowboat hopefully will let us see actual changing seafloor underneath us as we move around.
Is it right to think about it as like a topographic map, but of the bottom of the ocean?
Absolutely, it's a topographic map. We sometimes call them digital elevation models. So the data set that we produce will be a 3D map of some sort that we get to look at to help us envision what it's like if we were sitting there on the seafloor looking out like we are here. At present, we have about 85% of the ocean unknown in detail. So a lot is still missing. When you look at a global map and you see the shape of the seafloor, most of what you're looking at is based on prediction from satellite data. It's not actually directly measured as the water depth. You know, we want the ocean to catch up. We need to know what the whole planet looks like, not just this small percentage of it that's Earth, that is actually land, right? So I haven't actually fully seen this thing operational yet. I'm supposed to give it back to the... I'm lending it to my colleagues at NASA again, like, tomorrow. And I was like, oh, yeah, let me just practice using it and give you some better instructions, and here I am the day before.
What are people at NASA going to use this thing for?
Well, there's a new island that formed in the South Pacific. So it was a volcano that erupted that formed this new landmass. And in the middle of it, there's a crater that's full of water. And so we were there on a research vessel in April of 2016, and we were able to collect some really beautiful data. But we couldn't get the very shallowest area of water. And so what we're going to try to do is deploy this on a small boat inside the crater so we can see the shape of the floor of the crater. So we have guesses about the shape of it, but we haven't actually been able to measure it yet. So.
Wow.
So that's the idea with this stuff. All right, so we're going to get the gear, fire up the boat. My wife's probably going to kayak around us in her kayak. Oops.
Ooh, got it.
Nice catch. I'm going to be rowing.
You think we can both fit in that thing?
Oh, yeah. All right, so we're going to get the gear.
Here Be Monsters, the podcast about...
a bit of a black box.
The podcast about...
the unknown.
And now, an underwater disturbance.
Navy witnessed a new island growing rapidly, joining itself to neighboring islands that are not inhabited. The fresh young Tongan volcano is throwing rocks a few hundred meters and sending steam to heights of several kilometers. A rare insight into nature's power to both create and destroy. Sharon Ferguson, One News.
So this island that formed in between two pre-existing islands. If you were to take the water away and look at what's underneath, those two pre-existing islands and the new island sit on the rim of a big volcano. And so there's a caldera at the top, kind of like a teacup, right? And these little islands are on one of the rims. We circled the island. Then on the next pass around, we moved in to the edge of our previous coverage because we knew that the depth there was safe. And we just kept doing concentric rings until we got as shallow as we could. And it's kind of like mowing the lawn. So as you're mowing the lawn, you get a strip that you've cut underneath you. And then you come back and you overlap a little bit and you effectively paint the seafloor with sound beams to get these measurements and create these 3D maps. It can be fairly monotonous. People who are not really into it but have to go through the process of driving whatever the vehicle is back and forth in the survey pattern, sometimes they complain about it being boring. To me, I love it because I'm watching with each pass of data, I kind of paint the map in my head, which to me is really fun. So that's the power for the... So in theory, that's all we have to do.
Did you say how you were first testing it in our bathtub?
No, you can tell that story.
I come home from work and I open the door and there are cables running, I think from the kitchen into our bathroom with like the scan, the monitor in the middle.
I was sitting by the door with the topside unit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the transducer was in the bathtub because she didn't want to power it up without not being wet. And I'm just like, what happened? She's like, I wanted to test it out to see if it worked. I'm like, okay. Sure. Yeah, I don't think I understand.
All right. Ian said it's adrift, I think. All right. I'm going to power this thing up. I mean, we'll know pretty quick if it's going to work. That looks like power. Hey, I hear power. All right, so...
Vicky dangles a long rod over the side of the rowboat. Oh, there.
Yeah, it's working.
As we move through the water, she watches a profile of the shallow sea floor emerge on a screen. This is the sonar device she's sending off to her colleagues in the morning. She's giving it one final test to make sure everything is working correctly. Vicky's sonar is a miniature version of the systems used to map the deep ocean, and it's perfect for the shallow waters of the newly formed island near Tonga. It's rare for a new island like this one to stay above the surface for as long as it has. It is eroding, though, and it's uncertain how much time is left to study it before it dissolves back into the ocean.
So it's very shallow. It's only 2.3 feet below the transducer. And this return here is the seafloor. So for what we want to do in Tonga, this is a really easily portable unit that can be strapped onto a really small boat like this one. And we'll just have some profiles across this caldera and have a better sense of what it looks like. Could be flat, could be super rugged, could have holes inside, could have big chunks of hard material, just could be cracks. We have no idea right now, no clue. It's kind of, in some ways, like we're slowly lifting this veil, you know, of secrecy over what the shape of the seafloor is.
So you're in the room when the final map gets put together, 100% at 100 meter resolution. How do you feel?
Tired, probably. No, I mean, I think, you know, when we get to the point that the whole ocean is mapped, the next challenge will be figuring out where the priorities for remapping are, right? So it's the mapping is just the beginning. That's going to give us what the planet looks like, what the planet really looks like. We know what the planet looks like above water with great detail. And so we basically have a lot of detail on the continents, and then there's it's kind of a bit of a black box, right?
Is there something maybe that could feel a little bit sad? Like, we can still say now, you know, things like the final frontier, things like 85% is, you know, is still unknown. Is there anything lost when, like, kind of complete knowledge is gained?
Well, I mean, it's not going to be complete knowledge. It's just going to be the first layer, right? It's a foundational layer. As you start to bring sort of the like little tiny puzzle pieces together, it really starts to paint the picture. There's a lot of just beautiful, beautiful stuff on the seafloor. These giant ripples, all this spectacular stuff, you know, big volcanoes and beautiful meandering channels that look just like rivers, and they have levees just like rivers on land. There's just so much to see and so much to learn. And it's beautiful to explore the seafloor in detail.
Being married to a bathymetrist, has it made you think differently about the ocean or about maps, or do you just...
I see the way she sees the ocean floor is how we see land. She like really sees it in her head. So I think I see the ocean floor through her eyes because I haven't been there, but the way she sees it and can describe it to me, I see how amazing it is.
Dr. Vicky Farini is a marine geologist and a researcher at Columbia University. She's also a member of Seabed 2030, an international coalition of scientists working to map the entire seafloor in detail by the year 2030. Vicky's sonar eventually did make it to Tonga, and her colleagues used it to survey the crater and the new island. Vicky is already at work piecing together a preliminary map. You can see that map and others on our website, hbmpodcast.com, Special thanks to Dr. Kenneth Rolt and Dr. Heidi Dyerson for their help with research. Thanks also to San Francisco Maritime National Park Association, JNA Enterprises, and Dennis Jaya for giving us permission to use the archival sounds that you heard in this episode. This episode was produced by James Deneen. James is a writer and audio producer based in New York. I'm Bethany Denton, and I edited this piece, along with help from Jeff Emptman. Music by James Deneen, Lucky Dragons, and The Black Spot. Herbie Monsters is distributed by KCRW. Our senior editor there is Kristen Lepore. We get additional support for freelance contributions from KCRW's Independent Producer Project. Thanks for listening. More episodes soon.